Peter, verse 13, says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Saints, we want you to think about this as we go along, and much time the Lord will allow this thought. It'll be all right after a while. It'll be all right after a while. I don't know if you understand that God has called us and then left us. I want you to think about that. He called us, meaning he called us into himself to be saved. God called us. Amen. I'll say that again. God called us. But then he left us. What do I mean by that? I know you want to know. He left us down here. Ain't that right? Now, the part that we want to get to a little while is this. That even though I sought to qualify my statement, God called us to salvation with a holy calling. Then he left us. Now that means he abandoned us. But he left us in this world to be salt and light. But then this is other qualifying statement, because there are times in the Christian life it can happen as if, maybe not absolutely, maybe not completely, but in terms of what you experience in this world as a believer, you might have something run across your mind as if he did leave you. Amen. I know somebody said amen, because Job know what I'm talking about. Yeah. There are moments where I'm not saying that you necessarily question your salvation, but if you get to the place where you begin to wonder about God because he doesn't do what we think he ought to do. But the truth of the matter is, God only does what he's supposed to do. Are y'all with me here? And so I'm looking at this letter that Peter wrote to these believers, and what it says to me that if you want to know how to live in this world till Jesus comes, 1 Peter is a textbook. It's a manual for how to live in a pagan world until Jesus comes back. Yes, if you're wondering and wandering, saints, and you know, you get to the place where, you know, you start to think about what's going on, and you know, even going to church and have a sense of devoutness when you come to the house of God, you go to Bible study, you still got to live out there. Yes, amen. The church has, We lock the doors when you leave. Amen. We will lock the doors. And I know some, this is a good way to feel, but some sometimes might wonder and want to kind of run back into the church and say, "Let me in. It's dangerous out here." Well, I want to let you know that God didn't plan it that way. He didn't plan for you to get saved and then go live in the church, meaning the building. He saved you, and he saved you to live out there what you learn in here. And see, there are enemies of your soul. There's entities that are a part of this world system. I just named one of them. We grew up learning these three things. They give you a composite, not everything intricately, but they give you a deposit of the things that confront the believer as we wait for Christ to come. And that is the world, the flesh, and the devil. Yes, all those three components. I learned that coming up, but it's true. When you look at the scriptures, you need to learn that. You need to go into the Bible and see what that means, because you are inundated as a believer every day. At some point in time, these things have some effect on you. And if, in fact, you and I don't respond properly or appropriately, it will suck you in. Amen. Amen. And not only that, but it also can have the propensity to wear you down. And so Peter, writing this letter to these believers here, There is a twofold way in which we ought to understand. And he used this letter as a means to get them to see this. Because as you get caught up in, when I say caught up in, I mean when, watch, when things happen in life as a Christian and you cannot put an explanation on everything. Yet you choose, however, to want to remain faithful to the God who saved you. But you discover that you're not always welcome in the world in which you live. And so what happens is God wants us to know that you have to know who you are in spite of where you are. Yeah, I'm going to get some more amens after why, maybe Monday or Tuesday. They're going to wish they were saying amen, Lord. Amen. But when Peter writes this letter, notice this. And I just want to give these first two verses here. This Peter's intro, his greeting that he gives. And I want you to, this is a letter, y'all. Are y'all following me here? This is a letter. That means that personally, the Spirit of God had Peter write this to these saints where they were to console them and to encourage them in light of the things that they're going through. But it's significant in the way God does this. Now, when you look at the epistles, they're called, in the New Testament, you see this done by all of those writers in terms of not so much just the gospel accounts, but the letters, the epistles. And Peter says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. He writes this letter, and he's writing to the geographical area where they are, as the expression is used, scattered throughout. That means that some way, somehow, the saints here had been scattered throughout the Roman Empire in this particular region. And it could be that some were saved and then scattered abroad. Acts chapter 8 lets us know that when the gospel was spread and the church was growing, that the great persecution came upon the church. And some of the church fled or were scattered throughout. And that was not just happenstance. But God has a way of getting you where he wants you without you wanting to be where he has you. Yes, sir. Ain't that right? We got sometimes be careful. We get comfortable. We get comfortable in the spirit of convenience. And God says, I don't need you huddling up in one place. I need the gospel all over the place. And so if you won't move, God said, I'll move you. And sometimes persecution is not this. See, persecution speaks of when someone or something, they come after you. They don't just sit back passively. Persecution is an active word. It speaks when people come after you. They follow you. And so consequently, what happens is in this persecution, God uses it as means again for his people or you individually to be in a place again where he needs your witness. But he also lets you know that no matter where you wind up at, he was there before you got there. And not only that, his word will find you no matter where you find yourself. And so when Peter writes this letter, he addresses it, first of all, geographically to this area, but also this, saints, and this is just as much important, if not more. He also not only speaks to them as the strangers scattered throughout. And this word stranger again speaks of, again, this language of having people who are in a place where they're not native to that land. I mean, they didn't grow up there. That's not them. That ethnically, that's not where they grew up at. You understand? However, they are still residing there. So in that way, brothers, it's like that. They're in a neighborhood that people don't want them there. You follow me? But that's where they're at. But yet God, Peter also, right fast after that, he addressed as the elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Y'all ain't following me here. See, you got to understand this, how God sees you, not just how other people or even how you see yourself. Part of the problem sometimes is that we undervalue our calling. Yeah, BC. Other folks call you all kinds of names. It seems like, listen, they got hate crimes against everybody else but the Christian. Amen. You can talk about anybody else, and they want to arrest you. You say something bad against a Christian, I haven't heard something on the news yet
When people say derogatory things about our faith, about the believer, and you get in trouble for it. Are you with me here? But God, when he writes, Peter says, listen, I'm writing to you who are at this place. You're going to receive this letter from Silvanus. But when you get the letter, and that's what they do, he wrote the letter because he know that when the letter gets to them, they're going to gather the believers or take it through each one of these cities in a region and read it to each one of them. The same letter to each one of them, because there's a commonality that no matter if you're saved, it does not matter. Let me make a contemporary, whether you're in Philadelphia, United States, Japan, China, Alaska, Australia, Africa, don't matter where you at, if you're saved, if you put your faith in Christ, we all get the same letter. Yes, in the New Testament, they wrote to different churches, but everything they wrote has its own particular thing to all those churches, but there's something that comes that's for every one of us. Every one of us are the elect according to the foreknowledge of God. That means that God did not just see that you were going to believe in Jesus. He saw that he was going to pick you to do that. Yeah, I know folks don't always like that. Even some Christians don't like that. But I like that. I like to know that God wanted me.
Yes, sir.
I like to know that God wanted me. He planned for you to come to his son. That's right. And if he had not done that, you would not have done that. How in the world can people who are dead in sin, alienated from the life of God, have no spiritual ability and have no moral desire to keep their faith, to come to someone, a holy God, and say, I'm a sinner? Now, we wouldn't do that on our own. What God did by his Spirit, and Peter tells you, he came through the sanctifying work of the Holy Ghost, not only in terms of after you get saved, but the Spirit of God's responsible for us coming to Jesus. Amen. You would not have called on the Lord for salvation if the Holy Ghost had not initiated in you the desire and the ability to do so. That's why nobody who's saved can look down their nose at anybody else, because none of us would have came to Christ had not been for the work of God in your life. And the truth of the matter is not just in your life, but if it wasn't for the Lord, you would not have life.